Lombard Street. Understood? Yes, Harvey. Buy gold on my commodity account until it reaches $10 million and then hold until you receive further instructions. Try and buy in the troughs. And don't rush. Be patient. Understood? Yes, Harvey. Harvey Metcalf realized that the last instruction was unnecessary. Jürg Bierer was one of the most conservative bankers in Zurich, and, more important to Harvey, had over the past 25 years proved to be one of the shrewdest. Can you join me at Wimbledon on Tuesday, June 25th at 2 p.m, Centre Court, my usual debenture seat? Yes, Harvey. The telephone clicked into place. Harvey never said goodbye. He had never understood the niceties of life, and it was too late to start learning now. He picked up the phone, dialed the 7 digits which would give him the Lincoln Trust in Boston, and asked for his secretary. Miss Fish?
Yes, sir.
Remove the file on Prospector Oil and destroy it. Destroy any correspondence connected with it and leave absolutely no trace. Understood?
Yes, sir.
The telephone clicked again. Harvey Metcalf had given similar orders 3 times in the last 25 years, and by now Miss Fish had learned not to question him. Harvey breathed deeply, almost a sigh, a quiet exhalation of triumph. He was now worth at least $25 million, and nothing could stop him. He opened a bottle of Krug Champagne 1964, imported from Hedges and Butler of London. He sipped it slowly and lit a Romeo e Giulietta Churchill, which an Italian immigrant smuggled in for him in boxes of 250 once a month from Cuba. He settled back for a mild celebration. In Boston, Massachusetts, it was 12:20 p.m., nearly time for lunch. In Harley Street, Bond Street, the King's Road, and Magdalen College, Oxford, it was 6:20 p.m. 4 men, unknown to each other, checked the market price of Prospector Oil in the final edition of the London Evening Standard. It was £3.70. All 4 of them were rich men, looking forward to consolidating their already successful careers. Tomorrow, they would be penniless. Chapter 1. Making a million legally has always been difficult. Making a million illegally has always been a little easier. Keeping a million when you have made it is perhaps the most difficult of all. Henry Metalski was one of those rare men who had managed all three. Even if the million he had made legally came after the million he had made illegally, Metalski was still a yard ahead of the others. He had managed to keep it all. Henry Metalski was born on the Lower East Side of New York on May 17, 1909, in a small room that already slept 4 children. He grew up through the Depression, believing in God and 1 meal a day. His parents were from Warsaw and had emigrated from Poland at the turn of the century. Henrik's father was a baker by trade and had soon found a job in New York, where immigrant Poles specialized in baking black rye bread and running small restaurants for their countrymen. Both parents would have liked Henrik to be an academic success, but he was never destined to become an outstanding pupil at his high school. His natural gifts lay elsewhere. A cunning, smart little boy, he was far more interested in the control of the underground school market in cigarettes and liquor than in stirring tales of the American Revolution and the Liberty Bell. Little Henrik never believed for 1 moment that the best things in life were free, and the pursuit of money and power came as naturally to him as the pursuit of a mouse to a cat. When Henrik was a pimply and flourishing 14-year-old, his father died of what we now know to be cancer. His mother outlived her husband by no more than a few months, leaving the 5 children to fend for themselves. Henrik, like the other 4, should have gone into the district orphanage for destitute children, but in the mid-1920s it was not hard for a boy to disappear in New York, though it was harder to survive. Henrik became a master of survival, a schooling which was to prove very useful to him in later life. He knocked around the Lower East Side with his belt tightened and his eyes open, shining shoes here, washing dishes there, always looking for an entrance to the maze at the heart of which lay wealth and prestige. His first chance came when his roommate, Jan Pelnik, a messenger boy on the New York Stock Exchange, put himself temporarily out of action with a sausage garnished with salmonella. Henrik, deputed to report his friend's